Wired Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up this week's edition of Food Friday, we want to hear from you. We'll talk about little things that can make a big difference in our cooking.
First, the last few months have not been easy, to say the least. Stress has been high with the pandemic, the election, and everything in between.
And it's during times like this that we hear a lot about coping mechanisms like resilience.
Our next guest is here to explain how psychologists think about and explain resilience and how people can become more resilient in times of uncertainty.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about resilience or how to be more resilient? How are you finding moments of strength right now? And what have you learned from times when you've had to bounce back? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
Riga Ngurung is Executive Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and Professor there of Psychological Sciences. Before that, he spent 20 years as a professor at UW Green Bay.
Riga, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, so good to talk to both of you.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. Well, first things first, Riga, can you explain what resilience is and how psychologists think and talk about it?
Absolutely. So resilience is one of those variables that's part of a set of personality traits that we may have to varying degrees. And a nice everyday way to think about it is it's our ability to bounce back into action after stressors. So it's a very general kind of term. And whenever a person has encountered a tremendous number of stressors and seems worn down, seems burnt out, your individual level of resilience can predict the extent to which you can bounce back into action and still be fine.
How do we measure, Regan, and evaluate if I'm resilient or if I'm not?
So a couple of different ways. There's the you know, keeping your finger on your own pulse method, which in some ways is actually exactly that, literally that. You know, are you seeing upticks in blood pressure and physiological outputs? But more psychologically too, it's if you find yourself getting irritable, if you find yourself just being worn out, having trouble thinking, having trouble even feeling motivated to get up and do something, your level of resilience may have been worn down, or you may not be particularly resilient at that time. I think a key thing to keep in mind is very, you know, there are validated personality scales and questionnaires out there. So you can literally go and find a resilience scale where you answer a bunch of questions and you can see what your score is. I think that's useful if you're doing research or something like that, but on an everyday perspective, we have what you have. And the way I like to think about it, especially in these last few weeks and months, is to make the distinction between resilience as a trait, something that you have at some level, and all those factors that could influence and work with whatever level of resilience you may have. And there are a whole bunch of things that I hope we could talk about in terms of what are those things you can do to make you more resilient, to buffer your own sense of resiliency.
And before we jump into that, Regan, I'd like to talk about a couple other terms that I think often get brought up in similar situations, terms like perseverance and grit. Mm-hmm. What are the differences between those and resilience as you see it?
So there's almost this group of terms. And when you said other terms, I was thinking you'd go with things like hardiness. Hardiness is another big one, and I'll get to grit in just a second. But when we study as a health psychologist, when we study somebody's resiliency, we're more likely to also study their hardiness. And I think hardiness is defined pretty interestingly, which is people who are committed to their lives, who enjoy challenges, and who have a high level of control over their lives. These are people high in hardiness. And you see that hardiness and resiliency really goes well together. And again, look at those elements in there, right? That feeling of commitment, the enjoying challenges, therefore you see things as challenges, and you have that control. Now, grit, grit is, in the last maybe 5 or 6 years, you've heard a lot been said about grit. Angela Duckworth's work. I think something important to keep in mind is, as more research is done on grit, we see that even though there seem to be two parts to grit, and the part one is perseverance, and the second part is sort of a passion for a goal, the bigger factor in that grit is that perseverance, is your likelihood to sort of stick at it. And so really, grit, perseverance, resiliency, hardiness, these are all personality traits that people will vary in the degree to which they have. And so if your next question or your thinking, oh, wait a minute, is it a roll of the dice? Well, to some extent, personality is what you're born with. But I also want to say a little bit about where it comes from. We know that there are some prominent factors of resilient people and resilient families. So, for example, having a positive outlook, being spiritual, having a group of family accord, being flexible, good communication, all of these are factors that can lead to resiliency. And something that can maybe predict you being less resilient is if perhaps you had a lot of stressors as a child or a history of stressors. That can definitely eat out at your level of resiliency.
We're talking to Regan Gurung, professor of psychology at Oregon State University, about resilience. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What helps you get through tough times? What helps you bounce back when there's been a down moment or day or month? Call in at 800-642-1234. So, Regan, it sounds like we're not just stuck with the resilience pool that we're born right with. How can we cultivate it?
So a couple of different things here, and I'm going to try and go beyond the, you know, but at this point in the pandemic, I bet listeners and all of us have heard the same old saws about what you should do, right? Oh, sleep some more and schedule and plan well and all that. And all of those still hold. All of those still hold. But I think especially when we look at the research on resiliency, we see one of the biggest things that pops up in the research is actually fine-tuning and trying out new coping strategies. Because very closely tied to resiliency is the extent to which we cope adaptively. And in general, we can either approach a stressor or we can try and avoid it. And there is a whole range of so-called adaptive coping strategies, and there's also a range of maladaptive. And the maladaptive ones are ones we particularly need to stay away from. This is, you know, tends to be the use of substances is a maladaptive strategy. You know, not talking about something or not facing something is a maladaptive strategy. But to get to your question, those adaptive strategies, those adaptive things we can do are more actively going out, sharing more of our emotions, being open to sharing more of our emotions. And I think something that I don't hear enough people talking about in these weeks and months is making it okay for people to say that they are feeling low. I think we gotta be okay with the fact that many of us are being worn down. And I think, you know, far too often people think, no, put on a brave face and I'm okay. The reality is, if we ignore how we're getting worn down, we're less likely to be open to going out and looking for some help for it. And I think, you know, 6, 7, 8 months into this, this is that time where even the most resilient individual is probably showing many of the symptoms of what's called burnout, a word that, of course, is being used more and more. So as resilience wears out, all those elements of burnout, emotional exhaustion, and not feeling like, you know, you feel close to the people you'd like to serve, feeling like you're not accomplishing things, those are all elements of burnout. You're going to see that happening more. And my key message is, be open to it. It's natural at this point. The first step is saying, you know what? Yep, I am battered. I may be a strong person, but I am battered. It's okay to try some new things to get some help.
One of the things I've noticed about myself, Regan, is that trying to keep up the pace of doing the same things that I've maybe done for years in work or in hobbies or in relationships, that trying to do the same under the stress of the pandemic is actually feels like trying to do a lot more. Does that make sense from a resilience and a stress aspect?
Absolutely, because I think the nice thing about resiliency is that, you know, it helps you. One of my favorite phrases is rolling with the punches, and I think about that a lot. If you're resilient, you're essentially rolling with the punches, right? Life throws stuff your way. You're rolling with the punches. You're still getting stuff done. The problem, though, is when you have a chronic or long-term stressor, like we have for the last 6+ months, and when you add on more, like we've had in the last 6 months, those stores of energy, shall we say, or that resiliency, they get worn down a lot faster. So even though in a normal circumstance, let's just say you can juggle 5 balls, now with that additional cognitive load, with that constant weekly wearing down, even 5 balls is way too much. Even 3 balls is way too much. And I think this is a time where something I try to remind myself of, and with a little tip of the hat to Thanksgiving, this is the time where we afford ourselves a little extra serving of indulgence. And I think that's probably one of the key coping mechanisms that I would go for is offer yourself, let yourself have that extra serving of indulgence. Maybe watch a little bit more TV. Maybe, you know, go for that dish that you'd really try to not go for too often. This is probably a good time to do that.
We're talking to Regan Gurung right now. He's the executive director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and a professor of psychological sciences. He's with us to talk about resilience in uncertain times.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about adopting a more resilience-based mindset? And what has helped you through this pandemic? Are there things that you think you've done that help build up your stores of resilience and get over tough times along the way? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We'll continue the conversation and take your calls next on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Regan Gurung. He's executive director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and a professor of psychological sciences. And we're talking about resilience and how it can help us and how we can build it up during times like the pandemic.
You can join in with your questions and maybe your experiences, maybe your own advice at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Laura is with us in Superior. Laura, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. As I'm listening to this program, I'm working on a project. And I've been collecting leaves this fall and pressing them in books, and then I laminate them. And I'm going to be sending those to family and friends in Thanksgiving cards. And I normally send cards, but I think I've been writing people more and texting, too, just to stay connected. And I think it's really important to stay busy during this time, at least for me.
And Laura, I want to ask, you're keeping busy and you're keeping your mind focused on something, but you're also doing something that focuses you on, you know, your friends and family members that that you can't see maybe right now. Is that part of what's making this a good activity for you right now?
Yes, for sure. I live 6.5 hours from all of my family, and I haven't seen them since Christmas, and I'm not sure I'm going to be seeing them now, but you're right. This is a way to stay connected.
Fantastic.
And in touch.
Fantastic, Laura. Thank you so much. Regan, I love that. It's an activity. It's a way to keep busy. It's a hobby, but it's also one that keeps her mindful of her social connections.
Yep. Well, Rob, interestingly enough, there are right there in Laura's comment, there are four psychological must-dos that she's doing, which I just wanted to quickly highlight. I think, you know, when you talk about coping with stress and building your resiliency, something that you need to work on is thriving. How can we get ourselves to thrive? And to thrive, one of the key elements of thriving is actually building a focus on a task. And with that leaf collection and lamination, Laura's got the focus on the task. Another key element of thriving is focusing on key relationships. Laura's got that going. There's also the social support and practicing gratitude and doing good things. And all of those four in that really neat leaf collecting, laminating activity all in one shot. Laura, well on the way to thriving and doing well in the circumstance.
Thanks for that call. Let's go back to the phones at 800-642-1234. Jeannie in Sun Prairie is with us. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. I love, love, love this topic, and I live my life this way. And, you know, every day I get up and I am thankful. I'm grateful for a lot that we have. And one way I have... I'm getting through it. I mean, basically, I saw somebody the other day. He's like, how are you doing? I said, I'm adapting. And humans are resilient. And you have no other choice but to adapt. And but one thing I've been doing is reaching out to women from my church. And we started a walking group because I really sensed, like I'm the youngest one of the group, but I really sensed that a lot of people were living alone and they were isolated. And so I noticed people getting together in parks and distancing themselves and stuff. So we just talked about maybe the possibility of going to the park or maybe walking. So we've been walking for about 2 months now, and I'm telling you, we have explored some awesome places in Dane County, specifically the Upper Yahara Watershed walkway. Oh, my Lord. And the people are good. You know, they love it. They look forward to getting together twice a week. They look forward to communing with each other, which we all need. And I will admit right off the bat, I'm a people person. I was missing people bad. Hmm. And
thanks for that, Jeannie. And I just wanted to follow up on something that Jeannie was saying about making sure that others are doing okay. That's actually been really good for me, Regan, is I, as Rob can attest to, I've been sending actual postcards and actual notes to mm-hmm. members of our team and just letting them know I'm thinking of them and thanking them for their work. And I've heard that they appreciate it, but truthfully, I think I'm getting as much out of that as they are.
You know, and if I could just take that a step further, I think Jeannie said something really critical, which is, you know, she used the phrase reaching out. And I think even though humans are resilient, there is just so much variance in how resilient each of us are. And whereas you will look around even now and see some people who are still smiling or looking on the bright side of life, there are also many people whose levels of resilience are so low that they can't get up, that they don't feel like getting up. And I think reaching out to our friends and going, who haven't I heard from for a while? Who have I not seen for a while? Who's not come out on that walk? That's those of us who have that little extra bit of resilience. We really need to look out for those who don't. Because it's very, very easy to miss somebody, especially with the sheltering at home. And you may not see people as normally as you would. You may not be able to pick up on how they're doing. If you haven't heard from a friend, if you haven't seen a friend, or if you think that they're not really able to hit life with the same gusto and vigor that they once did, totally natural, completely natural, because of how resiliency varies. Reaching out now, really, really key.
Thanks for that call, Jeannie. We'll go to Kimberly now in Wauwatosa. Kimberly, hi.
Hi. So I would consider myself a pretty resilient person overall. I love to be balancing multiple things at the same time, whatnot. But I don't. Once we hit the election week, I just felt my resilience just go right down the drain. I've been unable to do more than a few emails at a time at work. Been kind of irritated the last couple of weeks, and I'm usually a pretty peppy person, But I don't know, I just feel exhausted lately. And I've tried indulgences. I've tried going on walks. I've tried just doing something fun out of the norm. But I was wondering if there's any, like, more advice that you would have for how I can get out of this funk.
Kimberly, thanks for that call. Yeah. And Regan, Kimberly, not alone. We've got multiple sources of stress out there right now. A lot of people in Kimberly's situation. What are your thoughts, Regan?
So here's a real, Kimberly, you put your finger on something really important. The people who are resilient, just like you said, you know, that you're normally resilient, here's something that the research suggests. People who are normally resilient very often push the challenges to a non-conscious level. So they're still experiencing all these challenges, but by virtue of that resilience, they're not actually paying as much conscious attention to it, which ends up really draining them to a great extent and them not realizing it. So especially if you're somebody who's normally resilient, this is the wake-up call where you go, I may not have noticed it, I may not be facing it, but I probably need a break. And that's where I go back to my extra serving of indulgence. Folks in Kimberly's position, force yourself to take a good break from the business as usual, because that's where the issue is. The resilient person goes, oh, I'm normally pretty resilient. I can keep going. Oh, I should be able to do this. And then we push ourselves way further than we should, because all of that stuff is not as conscious as it should be. Boy, we need to explicitly force ourselves to take that that time out. It doesn't have to be that long, but taking a very dramatic break from business as usual is critical to replenishing the stores and getting back into the saddle.
Regan, thanks so much for joining us today and for giving us some really useful and important tactics that we can use moving forward.
You're very welcome, Judith.
Regan Gurung is the executive director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and a professor of psychological sciences.
He joined us today to talk about resilience and how it can help us cope during uncertain and stressful times.
Coming up after the news, it's this week's edition of Food Friday with a look at the little things that can make a meal a lot better. And we want your ideas. Call in at 800-642-1234 so you can share them on the air. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up Monday at 6 on The Morning Show, if you want to break a bad habit or start a good one, there's some research that can help you out. Join the conversation about the science behind habits. That's Monday morning at 6 here on the Ideas Network.
Now it's this week's edition of Food Friday, and we want to hear from you. Do you have a little thing that you do in your cooking or the way you serve food that adds a lot to the final product? Maybe a favorite spice you like to add, or the fried egg you put on top of everything, or whatever your secret ingredient or special touch might be.
Rob and I will share some of our favorites, and you can join in with yours. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What's a little thing that makes a big difference in something that you cook or eat? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Hoping to learn a lot of ideas from you at 800-642-1234. But Judith, we've got some of our own, and I promised yesterday I'd have some that reveal that I'm not really that bright. So I'll start with one of those,
okay,
if that's okay. All right.
Please do.
So we make a lot of potatoes. I make a lot of potatoes in the house. Skillet fried, oven fried, American fries, whatever. And like years ago, restaurants everywhere started having these rosemary potatoes, right? Like fried various kinds of potatoes with rosemary in them. And I was always like, man, oh man, these are great. I always get these rosemary potatoes when I go out to a restaurant that has them. And a few years later, I thought, you know, every grocery store in this state pretty much has rosemary for cheap. So for the price of a couple bucks and an extra 10 seconds worth of effort, I can make my potatoes look like those potatoes at the restaurants that I love so much. So I finally did it. I add the rosemary to the potatoes. It's awesome. Everybody in the family loves it. It just took me a long time to get there. So that's one of my little things that adds a lot to food. Well, what's yours? What do you have, Judith?
I'll say that putting spices in with the oil in a dish, maybe if you're sauteing onions and garlic, do that and then put the spices in just for like not even a minute. It really brings out the flavor of the spices. It lets the flavors really expand before you add liquid or, you know, maybe some protein or something like that. But, and I say this is an important point to remember, especially if it's something like curry powder, or especially if it's something like with chili powder or something even stronger, make sure you turn the stove fan on, because otherwise, you know, you'll basically
face really in close to the pan.
Exactly. Otherwise, and your family will not be very happy that, you're basically gassing them. But it really adds so much to the flavor. And really, even if there are spices, I know you're supposed to change them like every 6 months or something. I'd love to meet the person who actually does that. especially if they're older spices, it really helps bring out the flavor.
That reminds me of kind of the opposite of that when it comes to fresh herbs. Like for a long time, I would throw them in early in the dish and successfully completely cook the flavor out of those fresh herbs. And now I realize that, and I've learned from Food Friday guests and elsewhere, that should be like the last thing you add. Usually, like after you turn the burner off or something, that's when all the like cilantro or basil can go in.
Right, right.
Well, we've got lots of callers with one thing that makes a big difference. Let's start off with Doug in Medford. Doug, hi.
Hi, how are you?
All right. What's your one little thing that makes a difference, Doug?
Soy sauce. When I'm cooking venison steak, venison and onions, I'll saute onions with the steak. And when it's just about done, I'll finish it off with a splash of soy sauce and let that cook into the meat and pull it off, and the kids love it.
I'm just wondering, Doug, have you ever marinated the venison in soy sauce, or does it have to go right at the end there?
Well, I've marinated back straps, and that's good, too. I've marinated it in soy sauce with some Italian dressing, actually, and that was really good, too.
It's international.
But, that splash of soy sauce right at the end just peps it right up.
So, Doug, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's exactly the kind of thing we're looking for here, Judith.
Exactly. And Aaron in Orchardville might have something for us, too. Aaron, hi.
Hi. Hi.
What do you have? Yeah, hi.
So I just wanted to mention caramelizing the onions into absolutely any recipe. I feel like, you know, just a little bit of butter and that couple extra seconds that it takes to caramelize the onions really adds a little extra sweetness to any recipe you add them to.
I have to say that's always kind of intimidated me, and it feels like it's going to be a really long process, but it sounds like you're saying it's really not that much extra to do.
No, it's just, you know, like when I'm prepping all of the other vegetables or whatever for chili or stir fry, I'll just throw them in a hot pan with some butter, and as soon as they turn brown, they're ready. They're good to go.
Fantastic. Aaron, thank you so much. Judith, so I like to, sometimes when I'm making soup and I have more time, I'll like oven roast onions and garlic and get them toward caramelized before I put them in the soup. Do you have anything in that ballpark?
You know, I really like roasting root vegetables and also sweet potatoes. And I used to put it up higher thinking that it was going to like give it a nice, you know, crispiness and things like that. I've actually learned to do it a little lower and slower. And it doesn't take much extra time because I cube it pretty small, but I just made roasted parsnips the other day. And I think that was actually the first time I did that. Just tossed them in some olive oil, with a little seasoning on it and, only kind of stirred them up once. And I think it was at 350, 325.
What?
And it just gets a really nice, it gets a really nice, mellow sweet flavor. Why,
I keep moving in the opposite direction. Well, because everybody tells me go hotter than you think. So I'm moving in the opposite direction. But it works. If it's working
for you. It works for me. It works for me, at least.
We are asking you for your little cooking tips that add a lot to a recipe, a dish, a lot of different things. You can join in at 800-642-1234. I think a line just opened up for you. Let's go back to our callers now. Dan is with us in Eau Claire. Dan, hi.
Hi. Hey, my tip is horseradish. Being that Eau Claire is the horseradish capital of the world, at Silver Springs is here. I made a shrimp salad today, you know, with salad dressing, grated carrots, peas, and macaroni, and beef vegetable soup. That's an interesting one. And a tablespoon, you know, I don't like hot. That's the interesting part. I've never been a real spicy guy, but for some reason, horseradish is adds a little extra to just about everything.
Horseradish is a different kind of hot. That's not like nose whoosh hot. It's not like the spicy hot pepper hot, right, Dan?
Yeah, kind of like that.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it works for me with my sinuses. I'd have to say that.
Dan, thank you so much. I'm the only one who likes horseradish in my household, so it's pretty rare that I'll have some. Judith, is horseradish a big part of your
repertoire? I love it. I'm half Polish, so I really grew up on it.
Me too.
And yeah. Well,
maybe that's why I like it. But so is my wife.
Probably.
So.
It's, well, you know. But yeah, I really like horseradish. I haven't gotten that creative with it, but I just want to say, Rob, that I think you should probably rush out and trademark nose whoosh hot because, I mean, that's just, you know, that's classic culinary terminology right there.
Yeah, it's like the horseradish, the wasabi, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, some of our producers on Central Time had some ideas to share. Bill Martins had, I'm not sure I would call this really a tip, but it's good advice. He says, read through the entire recipe first. I'm guessing that there's a story behind that.
Yeah, I've been burned by that, too. Like, when you think it's going to take an hour, but then you realize you missed the step that's another 40 minutes of baking in the middle of it or something like that.
Yeah. Or you miss an ingredient that's really kind of key to what you're making. Tim, who's answering calls today, you can give him a call at 800-642-1234. He likes Old Bay seasoning, and I have to say, I really like that, too. I think it's made for things like shellfish and seafood, but I think it's good on anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Our former producer, Amanda Magnus from Baltimore, was a very big Old Bay seasoning fan. Jay Carlisle Larson says, salt the heck out of your pasta water. Okay. And Dean Canetter says, just add lemon zest. Okay. Oh, and Natalie Guyette says, quick pickling red onions. I need to do this more. Quick pickle red onions to add on top of everything. That adds a lot.
And I immediately sent Natalie a message saying, please give me a recipe for a quick pickling red onions because I love them, too. I love them on sandwiches. I love them on tacos, but I've never actually made them.
All right. Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Kay is with us in Maryland, Wisconsin. Kay, hi.
Hi. I got three quick things for you. The first one, when you make that really nasty macaroni and cheese in the box with the powdered cheese. put a couple of slices of, like, the Kraft singles, and it creams it up.
Okay.
It's an amazing difference. The other one is you use Worcestershire sauce in everything that's beef. But if you don't have steak sauce, you use Worcestershire sauce and ketchup, about half and half, and it makes A1 steak sauce. And then the other one is cocoa powder, sugar, and hot water, and that makes ice cream topping.
Oh, that makes it's making your own chocolate syrup. I love it. Like real easy combo tips there. Yeah. Thank you, Kay.
And a darker chocolate, add more cocoa. If you like a sweeter, add a little more sugar.
Beautiful. I love it. Thanks for that. That reminds me of the whole mixing mayonnaise and ketchup idea, big in Puerto Rico and elsewhere. And that was one of those where have you been all my life moments for me, like dipping back those potatoes, dipping potatoes in that combo. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Yeah. And also, ketchup and horseradish is cocktail sauce.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that. Okay, I do. I do. We are looking for your calls on Food Friday. We're asking you to share your favorite little things that make a big difference in something you like to cook or eat.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have that extra ingredient or cooking method or something you do when you serve a meal that puts it over the top? Give us a call now at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
We'll hear from more of you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. It's Food Friday, and we are asking you to share your favorite little things in cooking that can add a lot to a meal.
Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Justin is with us in Waukesha. Justin, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to suggest for your little thing that adds a lot, Justin?
You know, it's really simple, but Fox Point seasoning, it's made up of, like, onion and garlic and parsley and just a lot of the good normal spices you would have, but to have it already blended up and in a bottle, and you can put it in eggs or chip dip or on your chicken, whatever it really calls for, it works with.
That is a big hit in my household, Justin. I made zucchini with it last night. One of my daughters loves it as the base for chip dip, too. Mm. I just got a big jar. Do you always keep it on hand?
Yeah. I tend to, every year for Christmas, a relative gives me a jar from the Milwaukee Spice House for it, and I love it.
Fantastic. Justin, thanks a lot for sharing that. Do you have, Judith, a go-to spice mix? You use a lot of different things, I know, but is there one that's just like, I don't want to think, I'm just going to use blank?
I do. I have a really nice Italian herb mix that's more, when I think Italian herb, I think of basil and oregano, but it's got thyme and marjoram and things like that. I use that quite a bit. I also use, I know you're going to be shocked, I use Herbe de Provence and Fines Herbes, which are two French herb mixtures. But I also want to share that Mary on Facebook said that her go-to on everything is chipotle powder. She says it tastes great on everything. Eggs, sauteed veggies, chicken to name a few. And I loved smoked paprika. And that made me think of it because chipotle is smoked jalapenos.
Thanks a lot for that call. Brian is with us now in Green Bay. Brian, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I would like to add mirin to every level of ramen that you've got, whether or not it's cup of noodles or your 99-cent package, or if you're going all the way up and you're doing your noodles homemade and making your own homemade tare, like getting it from either your local supermarket or getting it on Amazon really takes everything up a notch to something a bit more genuine from Japan.
And mirin is it like a soy sauce but with a twist?
It's more of a clear sauce that adds a bit of alkaline to the actual broth, so it gets it closer to being a vinegar almost.
I gotcha. I got to try that, Brian. I have not used that. Judith?
I haven't used it either, but I do like when he said it was almost like a vinegar. You know, a little bit of acidity right at the end of something can really brighten it up. I think that's what Dean was going for, like with the lemon zest. And we had a caller, I think, who couldn't stand the line who said, you know, put lemon in everything. I'm a huge fan of that, like citrus burst right at the end. And again, like you said, with the fresh herbs, Rob, really put it in right at the end. Mm-hmm. Don't put it in too early.
Thanks, Brian, for that call. And I've said this to other Food Friday guests before, but 90% of the time when something I'm making needs something, that something is that acid, whether it's vinegar or citrus or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go to another caller, Lisa in Wanakee. Lisa, hi.
Hello.
What's your tip,
Lisa? I have a suggestion, especially with Thanksgiving coming up. I add Madeira to gravy, and it's good in really any gravy that you're making year round, but especially in Thanksgiving gravy. It just makes it taste a lot more velvety and rich.
Oh, I love that. I've never tried anything like that, Lisa. I used to like the taste of just drinking Madeira, and it made you feel like a pirate or something because it's so old school. I don't do a lot with gravy, Judith. Well, not really. No.
Yeah, I have to say gravy is one of those things that probably if I ever actually tried it, I would not be intimidated. But I am so. But you know, that's a good idea. And you know, if there's Madeira floating around, you know, you can drink a little, feel like a pirate. Also, go to it, Rob. I want to share one with you that might not seem like a big deal, but it really makes a difference. Tomato paste. So,
okay.
I know you were waiting for something a lot bigger than tomato paste. But
no, but this is small stuff. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and especially you can get like it's double concentrate tomato paste. And I find that when I need just a little more richness in something, like maybe a chili or maybe a soup or something, tomato paste adds a huge amount of flavor without adding more moisture. And I've even spread it on bread before I'm making a sandwich.
Well, interesting. All right, I'll go even more trivial for you, can I?
Sure.
Cutting a sandwich in half. So when I make a sandwich for somebody else, I cut it in half for them. When somebody makes a sandwich for me, they cut it in half for me. But when I'm making one for myself, I don't know. Like, it seems like too elaborate or fancy. Just for
fancy.
Me. Like, I picture on the Scottish side of my family, some stern-faced answer, like, well, that's an extravagant lad cutting that sandwich in half.
But
it's so much better. It's like way better when you cut the sandwich in half.
It is. And you can see what you're eating. And do you cut diagonally or across?
Oh, I mix it up.
Wow.
I have no strong preference.
You get wild in the kitchen, Fair.
Time for another caller or two. Rafaela is with us in Wausau. Rafaela, hi.
Hi there. My suggestion is adding cocoa powder to your chili, depending on the batch, maybe just one large teaspoon or tablespoonful, but you might add two, and it adds richness to that broth, gives it that burgundy color. not going to make it sweet if you just use plain cocoa powder, but it just does something to chili.
Fantastic. We did a whole half hour on chili, and I know some of our callers were big fans of some form of chocolate or cocoa powder in it. Thank you for that, Rafaela.
And that makes sense because mole sauce is cocoa-based. So, yeah, it's delicious. Great, great idea. Let's go back to the phones, and I think Derek in Janesville and I are going to be friends forever. Derek, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What you got?
Smoked paprika.
Yes.
What do you put it on?
It was good. Yeah, usually when I make any kind of tomato base, anything, I throw it in there. Or if I'm doing smoked meats, I marinate it with smoked paprika, and I usually smoke it myself.
Wow. Ooh. How do you smoke it?
You just buy whatever cheap brand of paprika. I mean, it tastes better, obviously, if you buy a higher-end one, and you just put it on some tinfoil and throw it in the smoker.
Wow.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah, wow. I've just gotten into paprika more in the last few years. Now I have like three kinds, like a half sweet, a half sharp, and then a smoked. And I'll often use two or three of them in the same dish. And you get just like these layers of different paprika flavors. I'm loving it.
That sounds really good. I do not have a smoker myself, but I have a friend who does. So maybe I'll sneak some paprika in there. Rob, do you have a last tip or ingredient to share?
Oh, well, there's the reverse sear I've gotten from a meathead and other grilling experts where you bake the meat in the grill first and then sear it right in the end. That's been a big difference maker, too. Do you have a last one to share?
You know, my thing, actually, it's also a grilling thing. I used to power boil ribs because I thought you were supposed to, and it was messy and took a ton of time, and I still have these epic flare-ups. We ended up with basically briquettes instead of ribs one time. The last time, I just trimmed the fat really well, seasoned them up, and put them on the grill. Much less flare-up, and it was so much faster and easier.
Well, thank you for all of your calls, by the way. And you can keep sharing your small cooking tips that make a big difference over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Well, this has been a happy and fun conversation. I want to leave it with a little bittersweet ending. Judith, it is your last day with us here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You're going on to some cool stuff, but I and all of us are really going to miss you here.
I am going to miss all of you listening and on the team. It has been a wonderful 5 years on Central Time, almost 10 years at WPR. These Food Friday conversations where it's just us and the guests have been some of my favorite times. So really fun to be able to do that as a last hurrah.
Yeah, you're co-hosting with me on this last day to have one more chance to do this. I've really had a lot of fun in these Food Friday conversations. Well, you know, in your new job, you'll have time probably to write, you know, cookbooks and stuff. So we can bring you back on to Food Friday.
There you go. I mean, if you have a guest that bails on you, I will always come back and do this kind of thing. It's a lot of fun. And seriously, you know, Central Time is such a fun show to work on. I've always loved the mix of the topics we do, everything from Food Friday and, you know, how to build up resilience to the politics of the day and more. And Rob, I will continue to be a fan of yours. And, you know, I might even be nicer to you now that, you know, I don't feel like I have to tease you all the time.
Excellent. I'll have that to look forward to. Now, I don't know if you remember, Judith, when Veronica Rickert left, she and I sang a little duet on her last day. So I assume we'll...
Yeah, she's a trained opera singer, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we won't honor that tradition today.
That is not the last impression I want to leave people with.
Very, very fair. Well, Judith, we will miss you. Do hope you keep listening.
Absolutely. I'm going to start calling in.
All right. Well, thanks to Judith, all the work she's done, the great positivity she's brought to the show over the years. Really going to miss that. The show does go on, coming up Monday on Central Time. Follow Your Nose, the author of a new book, catalogs the many smells we can encounter around the world, and tells us he learned a thing or two about the science of smell along the way. Plus, it can be hard to talk to kids about issues related to race, but there are books that can help. We'll get a great reading list for a variety of ages with books that can help start important conversations. Plus, it'll be this month's edition of Mondays with Mike with answers to your questions about what's going on at Wisconsin Public Radio. That and more coming up tomorrow, Monday, here on Central Time. One little bonus note for Food Friday. This one's kind of weird, though. Brock's Candy Company has a Thanksgiving-themed assortment out this year of candy corn that tastes like the dishes on the Thanksgiving table.
Rob Thomas of the Capital Times, bless his heart, actually tried them and then reviewed it. Mostly, he said, it was not great. The candies are color-coded, thank goodness. And the flavors include turkey, of course, plus stuffing, glazed carrots, sweet potato pie, cranberry sauce, and green beans.
In the review, it sounds like the cranberry and the pie ones weren't so bad, which kind of makes sense. You can see candies flavor like that. The savory ones, not so good. Judith, do you feel like you've had this hue and cry for green bean and stuffing flavored candy?
No. And it reminds me of like those Harry Potter, you know, what are these? The kind of jelly beans that you never know what they're going to taste like. I have to say, I feel like they really missed something here. It's candy corn. And one of my favorite things for Thanksgiving is corn casserole. There is no corn flavored candy corn.
I don't know. Is that like a common thing? I don't feel like I see that. That's not like something you expect on every Thanksgiving table.
But still, I mean, candy corn, come on.
That's kind of a Willy Wonka.
Yeah, Willy
sort
Wonka
of
too.
Thing. Yep. And so who knows how badly wrong this could go if we start mixing the flavors.
Yeah, it's true.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.